We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, 1 Peter chapter 2, and our text for tonight is verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. We are sometimes discouraged and depressed. The world despises us. We're few in numbers. The great majority of people have no interest in the things of God. We look into our own hearts and lives, and we're disappointed with our own unfruitfulness, our lack of faithfulness, our lack of diligence, our sinfulness. There's so much that depresses us when we look into our own hearts. We're so worldly and self-centered. We fail in so many things. But we have to remember that we are a blessed people. We are a very special people. We see here the amazing things that God says about us. And I would like us tonight to think together of some of these special things that God says about us as the people of God. To think about all these blessed privileges that are ours. And to encourage ourselves as we do so to love the Lord more and to praise him for what he has done for us. If you're a Christian, remember this. You're special. You're special to God. So let's look then at the way God's people are described in this verse. And the first thing that we notice here is that you are chosen. You're not one of the crowd. You're one of the chosen ones. Notice how Peter begins his epistle. He writes to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God knew you. Foreknew you. Knew you before you existed. Knew you from all eternity. Knew you always. Because God is eternal. And his knowledge of you is eternal. And his knowledge of you is not his knowledge about something you were going to do or something that would be true about you, but his knowledge of you is a knowledge of love, of delight in setting his heart upon you, whom he did foreknow, then he also did predestinate. Elect, you are chosen. Others are bypassed. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Esau the oldest, Esau the strongest, Esau the most exciting, as it were. But Jacob have I loved, and Esau passed by. Esau left aside. Esau hated in comparison to Jacob. Was it because you were any better than others that God elected you? Definitely not. Why did God choose Israel? Why did he elect the seed of Jacob? Was it because they were more numerous? Because they were more gifted? Because they were more righteous than others? Not a bit. He found them as slaves, downtrodden slaves in the land of Egypt, and didn't choose them because of anything in him. I chose you because I chose you. That's all we can say. God's choice. Just like the potter, he takes one lump of clay and he makes a beautiful vessel out of it to honor. And he'll take another lump of clay of the same clay and he makes a vessel to dishonor. How amazing that God has chosen you to honor and to be honored forever. Some say that's not fair. Why does he pass by this one and that one? Well, there's a reason. And that reason is simply himself. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God's sovereignty. He does what he will. He chooses whom he wishes. He chose you. And he set his heart upon you. He chose some angels so that they would have eternal life. And other angels he didn't choose. And those angels which he didn't choose fell. They rebelled. And they are held in chains of darkness against the great day. There's no gospel for fallen angels. Praise God, there's a gospel for fallen men and women. There's a gospel for you. But there's no gospel for angels. They sin, and that's the end of the matter. You and I sin, but Christ came into this world to save sinners. God, in his great mercy, saved sinners. And God chose to save you. You're special. And you're special simply because God chose you. Praise him. Give thanks to him. Acknowledge him. Love him. We love him because he first loved us. Yes, indeed. How wonderful. Chosen. That makes you special. God chose you. The second thing is, you notice that you are a chosen generation. Now this word generation has different meanings. Sometimes it means the generation amongst whom we live. You remember how, with regard to the destruction of Jerusalem, it was said, Jesus said, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So generation meant the people who were living at that time. But here the word generation doesn't mean that, but it means descendants. Just like the generation of the sons of Noah in Genesis 10 verse 1. Or the generation of Abraham. In a very real sense, you are the generation of Abraham. Children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Not children of Abraham by the flesh. Not by circumcision. But by faith in Christ. You belong to this generation. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 2, we're told about the sons of God marrying the daughters of men. And sometimes you hear silly nonsense about these things, as if the sons of God there were angels. where angels cannot marry. Jesus tells us that. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. And angels don't have bodies, they're just spirits. So there could never be a marriage between an angel and a human being. That's nonsense. The sons of God are the generation of God. They are those who are born again and adopted into God's family. The sons of God are the godly family. You are a chosen generation, the generation of Christ. Behold, I and the children whom God hath given me. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Who are his seed? You are the children of God, Christ's children. How wonderful it is to be his generation. His generation. His children. God's children. How privileged. And you weren't always God's children. There was a time when you were the devil's children. Children of your father, the devil. And the works of your father you did. But now you've been regenerated. And you've been adopted. God has adopted you as his children. You are the children of God. A chosen generation. You're special. And the next thing we notice is that you belong to the royal family, a royal priesthood. Kings and priests unto God. A royal family. The royal family in our country have considerable privileges, don't they? We think of Prince William and Prince Harry and the privileges that they had in their upbringing. And in so many ways they have privileges. Well, we too have privileges, and far, far higher privileges than Prince William or Prince Harry. Because we don't just belong to the King of Britain, we belong to the King of Kings and to the family of the Supreme Lord of the universe. We are the children of God. And we are part of the royal family of God. We are children of the King of Kings. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. You know, one day you'll judge angels. How amazing. You'll be a judge judging even these high beings, angels, because you'll be exalted even above the angels. And you will sit with Christ in his throne. And you will reign with him. Royals. It's wonderful to be one of the royal family. God's royal family. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Live like a royal. Don't live in the gutter. Don't bring shame upon your father, the king. Be different from Satan's peasants. Don't listen to the devil. Don't let him lead you astray. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Keep your garments unspotted from the world. Do you think about that ever? That you're one of God's royal family. You're a son, a daughter of the King of Kings. Live with the dignity and the moral purity with which you ought to be characterized. The next thing we notice is that you are priests. And priests have a special dignity. In some ways they've got a dignity even above kings. You remember how King Uzziah wanted to be the priest and wanted to go in and offer incense in the temple. How the priests tried to stop him, but he wouldn't be stopped, and God struck him down with leprosy. Think of Joseph. Joseph was exalted to being prime minister of Egypt. And then he was given a wife that befitted his high position. And his wife was a daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. The priests were highly thought of. They were honored. And you're a priest. You're one of God's priests. And as a priest, you have access to God. The Old Testament priests, they had access into the Holy of Holies only one day in the year. They had to come with blood and with incense in on the Day of Atonement into the Holy of Holies. First for themselves, making atonement for their own sin. And then, on a second occasion, the same day, making atonement for the people. But now, friends, the veil has been torn down. And the scripture says, come with boldness to a throne of grace. And the throne of grace and the mercy seat are the same place. Come with boldness, because you're a priest. You're one of God's priests. And when you come as a priest, you come offering sacrifices. And what sacrifice are you offering? Not bulls and goats, but something far more precious to God, a broken heart. Son, daughter, give me thine heart. A broken heart. You are to offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God, to do His will continually. Your bodies. And then you're to come with a sacrifice of your lips, the calves of your lips, sacrifices of praise. You're to come offering incense and mingling your prayers with the incense, the merits of Christ. You're a priest. Remember your position as a priest. Think of the dignity you have as a priest. Don't be reluctant to exercise the office. Be one of God's priests. Come with your sacrifices. Come with your incense of prayer. Come with your sacrifices of praise. Come before the Lord. Kings and priests, a royal priesthood. How special God's people are. Do you ever think about it? And the next thing we notice is that you are holy. A holy nation. You weren't always holy. There was a time when you were filthy, covered in your own scum of sin. But you've been washed. You've been regenerated. You've been born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. You're new men and new women in Christ Jesus. You're holy. You were a sinner, but now you're a saint. The Roman Catholics talk of saints as some very special people who perform miracles and such things. But that's not the Bible's teaching of a saint. The Bible tells us that every born-again Christian is a saint. You are one of the saints in beauty, the saints in Christ Jesus. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Oh, that wonderful work of the Spirit of God coming into your heart, regenerating you, recreating you, and then forming you again in the image of God in knowledge and righteousness and true holiness. The Holy Spirit sanctifies you, the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood washing away your guilt, sprinkled upon you, sanctified by the Spirit. You're a saint. Some people talk about Saint Matthew and Saint Mark and Saint Luke, but you're a saint. Whatever your name is, you're just as much a saint as Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Every Christian's a saint. How privileged. How special. You were a sinner, but now you're a saint, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. A holy nation. A nation. In the past, you weren't a nation. You were a gathering of people. You were people from this place and that place, from this nation and that nation. You were nobodies, odd people from here and there. But you have been gathered together to form a nation. The new Israel. And holy nation. Which in time past, verse 10, were not a people, but are now the people of God. Different individuals from here and there, united into the greatest nation there ever was. Remember how we were reading in the morning, there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. How Jesus sent out his disciples, and what were they to proclaim? The nation. The kingdom. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. The kingdom of God has come. What is the kingdom of God? This holy nation. And when you are converted, you enter the kingdom. You become part of the kingdom. You are a citizen of the kingdom. Your citizenship is in heaven, from whence also you await the Savior. An holy nation. You are the Israel of God. The Israel of God. Remember the little stone in Daniel chapter 2. The little stone that comes against the great image. The great image representing the empires of the world, the head of gold, the Babylonian Empire, the chest of silver, the Persian Empire, the thighs of brass, the Greek Empire, the legs of iron, the Roman Empire, the feet part iron, part clay, and then comes the little stone, cut out of the mountain without hands. It rolls up, it knocks over the image, it breaks it down into powder, blown away as the chaff, and the little stone grows and grows and grows. And what is this little stone? It's the nation. It's you. You belong to a nation that's going to last forever. There have been great nations in the past, like the Persians and the Greeks and the Egyptians. and the Romans. But the greatest nation of all is the Israel of God that will last forever. A kingdom which has now no end. A kingdom which conquers all the rest, yea, all the mighty kings on earth. Before him down shall fall, and all the nations of the world do service to him shall. The nation. And the next thing is, you're peculiar. But peculiar not in the sense of being odd. The world thinks of us as odd, and in a sense we are odd, and certainly in their eyes, because we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We don't belong here. We belong to heaven. And we have different interests. We're distinguished by a different way of life. We speak a different language from the world around us. But that's not the meaning that the word peculiar has here. Peculiar here means special. You are God's special people. You are God's jewels. Have you ever thought of yourself as a jewel? A jewel to God. We think of Christ as the pearl of great price. But to God, you are pearls of great price. And in the day when he makes up his jewels, not one of them will be lost. He doesn't lose any of them. He loves his gems. He loves his people. He delights in them. You're special. You are his peculiar people. The ones on whom he has set his heart from all eternity. And the heavens shall depart and the earth be removed, but his kindness shall not depart from you, nor the covenant of his peace, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. God's people, the apple of his eye. That's what you are. Peculiar to him, special to him. Engraved upon the palms of his hands. Sometimes you see people and they tattoo themselves. And they'll maybe tattoo the name of their girlfriend on their arm or whatever. I remember one fellow like that who came to us in Knightswood and he had a tattoo of his girlfriend on his neck. Couldn't remove the tattoo, but the girlfriend was long off the scene. How pathetic, how sad. But when God engraves you upon the palms of his hands, you're there. And you're there forever. And your relationship with him is an everlasting relationship. God's peculiar people. That's the next thing. People. Separated from all other people. A chosen people, a loved people. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. These are the terms of the covenant of grace. It was spoken to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, through Moses, down through the centuries. God's new covenant, you shall be my people. And I will be your God. My peculiar people. God's people. God's covenant people. How different Israel were. All around them were these heathen nations. Following Balaam and Molech and Chemosh and all the rest of their gods and their idols. But God chose Israel. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. My people. My people. They were not a people, but are now the people of God. They had not obtained mercy, but now they have obtained mercy. Do you think of yourself as the people, God's people? The next thing we see here is called out of darkness. We all have a past. We all at one time were in darkness. In the darkness of ignorance and in the darkness of sin, we were blind. One thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see. Once you were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. You did the works of darkness, but now you walk in the light as He is in the light, and you have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but you reprove them. The light has shone into your heart. The truth has been revealed. Your minds have been illuminated. The Bible is no longer to you just a book of old stories. It's the living Word of God. God is to you no longer somebody far away that you fear, but He's someone whom you love, who has come to dwell in your heart, who has brought light and joy and peace and love into your heart. You were in darkness, in sin and in wickedness, in ignorance, without God and without hope. But now you are in the light, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. The light has dawned. The light of Christ shining. You've come to Him who says, I am the light of the world. And He has shone His light into your heart. You walk with Him in the light, no longer walking in darkness. When the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the pit. But you have the Lord to lead you. The Spirit of God giving you light. You're walking in the light. And the light of truth has shone into your heart. You know the light. And the joy and bliss that the light brings. You dwell in the light. And you seek more and more to dwell in the light. And the path of the just shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So friends, we have some wonderful descriptions here of the Christian. It's great to be a Christian. There's nothing like it. If you're not a Christian tonight, it's time you became a Christian. The Christian is a very special person, a very blessed person. Come to Christ. Cry out like one of old, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, save me. Ask Jesus into your heart to be your Savior and to be your Master. And if you are a Christian, think of how privileged you are. And instead of moaning and grumbling and groaning and complaining, rejoice that you're one of these special people. Rejoice in the privileges that are yours. Think of your blessings. Count your blessings, people say. Well, how can the Christian ever end counting his blessings? The Christian will go on till the end of eternity counting his blessings. Think of how special you are, called out of darkness into His marvelous light, that you should show forth the praises of Him. Why did God convert you? Why did he bring you out of darkness into light? So that you should show forth his praises. So that you will glorify him. So that you would be different from the world around you. So that you would be a witness in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Use your tongues to praise him. From your hearts, glorify him. Think about the chief end of your existence, the purpose by God made you, to glorify and enjoy him. Learn to sing his praises here below, and you'll be singing his praises forevermore in heaven. So friends, take this verse, meditate upon it. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's pray. O Lord our God, how amazing that thou shouldst take the rubbish of this world and make them thy sons and thy daughters, a royal priesthood, kings and priests unto God. How amazing. How wonderful. In and of ourselves we are nothing. But by grace, we are amazing children of God. We thank thee, O Lord, tonight, that thou didst not leave us in darkness, but called us with an effectual calling into the glorious light of thy presence. We thank thee that the Holy Spirit came to reside in our hearts, opening our blind eyes and showing to us the beauty of the God who elected us from all eternity. The beauty of the God who died for us on Calvary's cross. And the beauty of the God who sanctified us and united us to God by coming to dwell in our hearts. Help us to praise thee and to praise thee forever. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing praise is Psalm 66, and we'll sing verses 16 to 20. Psalm 66 at verse 16. 66 verse 16. All that fear God, come here, I'll tell what he did for my soul. I with my mouth unto him cried, my tongue did him extol. If in my heart I sin regard, the Lord me will not hear, but surely God me heard. Unto my prayer's voice give ear. O let the Lord our gracious God forever blessed be, who turned not my prayer from him, nor yet his grace from me. These words to God's praise.
Oh,